Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. A very familiar set of scriptures that you were taught many times as a child growing up in the younger Sunday school. If you'll all stand when you please get that. Chapter 14, starting with verse 13. Matthew 14, 13. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning, and we pray that you'll open our hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit has for us. Be with me as I deliver your message, that it only glorifies you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If there is a doctor that can heal you, and you know that, of course you're going to go to that doctor. But there's only one that can heal physically and heal spiritually. The person needs to be fed. And they need to be fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, you see that Jesus had departed because he had just received word that Herod had martyred or beheaded John the Baptist. And Jesus kind of left that region, not out of fear, but simply because it was not his time yet for him to be arrested or for him to go through the cross yet. So he departed and he left. His disciples had just come back from certain things and told him of what had went on. So he decided that he would depart to a deserted place, a place where there wasn't anyone. And it'd probably be around springtime, because we see here the scripture says that they were seated on grass. But it was a place where he could be by himself, which he often did. And then he wanted his disciples to be with him with a time of prayer, a time of rest, and a time of teaching. But we know that his fame had spread. People had seen him do miracles. They had heard about him doing miracles. And mainly they had seen and heard that he was healing the sick of all kinds of infirmities. Not only were they interested in seeing miracles, if you heard somebody was doing miracles, what's the first thing that you're going to do? You just want to go see it, because we're curious people, right? We just want to see something that we hear about, okay? Several years ago when I was still working, I don't know if y'all remember this, we right behind Brother Barry Joyner's house, our pipeline blew out, okay? And a 26-inch pipeline with 800 pounds of pressure, Brother Wayne makes a big roar. My mama said she woke up, because it was right down back of her house, down through the woods, toward Unionville there. She said, "I didn't know if the rapture was coming or not. It was that loud." So I got in my truck and block valve 5, which is right there in Dubox. You'll see it when you go by, going out of Dubox. Got the red valves on the right. That's our pipeline. I went there to shut that valve and to wait till other people could shut a valve. 10 miles, that's how it is on the pipeline. We can shut it and let that section blow out of gas. It was roaring. I'm telling you, it's a loud noise. So I'm sitting there in the dark. You would think with a natural gas pipeline blowing out, Brother Wayne, Brother W, those of you that have worked in the business, people would stay away. They know it's dangerous. Guess what was happening in the wee hours of the morning coming out of Dubai? More cars than you've ever seen. They were going toward the noise. Y'all don't tell her this, but I talked to my mama the next morning. I was telling her that, and she said, "Well..." I said, tell me you and Daddy didn't get in the car and drive for that. Well, yeah, we did. So you see, we're curious people, aren't we? So these people had heard of the Lord Jesus. He's healing people. Okay? Now, I've told you, I hadn't got to that yet. I mentioned it during Miss Peggy's funeral, the customs of the people during that time. They hadn't changed for thousands of years. Even the people that weren't Israeli, their customs were just about the same all over the East. And so a change, they hadn't heard from a prophet in a long time when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene. They hadn't seen healings or anything except hearing of what their forefathers knew 400 years before. So now here's this man. Is he a prophet? Is he from God, as John the Baptist claimed? He's performing these miracles. Who is he? We've got kids, we've got people that are sick, and I'm hearing that he can heal them. So they see Jesus, they know that he's going out to this deserted place. He gets in a boat with the disciples, they go across Galilee, right, to the other side. They don't have access to this. So the Bible, get this picture, is telling us something miraculous here. These people walk that whole distance around that big body of water just to be with Jesus. Now, curiosity gets you to do certain things, but there was something else going in here. They had a need, right? They had a hunger. They had a need to be with somebody they thought might fill them. So here's the picture. So Jesus gets out of the boat. He's on the other side. He knows what's going to happen. The disciples don't. They're tired. They want to rest. John the Baptist has just been killed. And here's this multitude that starts showing up, walking and bringing people. Were they bringing people on stretchers like they used to let the man down through the ceiling? Who knows? They're bringing their sick to him. They're coming. Yes, some of them wanted to see a miracle, but they had a need in their life. And the Bible tells us that when he went to this deserted place, he saw the great multitude, and it says that he was moved with compassion. Spurgeon says, in the original words of this text, it means simply this: his whole being was stirred to its lowest depths with compassion. A compassion and love that only God himself can have. That same compassion is there today. As he looks at the multitude, you can imagine the Lord Jesus, as he sees what's going on in Ukraine, as he's seen the whole history of this planet. I was thinking the other day and was doing some research. The war in Ukraine is horrible, but ever since the fall of man, there's been nothing but bloodshed upon this earth. Cain killed Abel, and bloodshed has followed ever since then. If you want to blame something for all that's happened on this earth, it's a three-letter word, and it's simply sin. And we've taken that little word and we've called it all sorts of other things, so we take our mind off of sin. And we don't think about God. And we name it a lot of fancy things. Malcolm Muldrich was a famous psychiatrist. Okay? And he actually committed suicide and ended his life. But he was famous, a very smart man in that field. He was not a Christian, but he actually said in some of his writings, what we have done is we've taken the word sin, exactly what I told you, and we've renamed it, all of these words, for a physical condition that we think is what it is, but it all goes back to a simply sin, to a direct contrast to that word of what has happened. He was not a believer. So Jesus, God is having compassion on these people. He knows in that crowd, there's some of these people, diverse. Some are going to be those that are in the crowd that cries for his crucifixion, probably. Some are going to be those that are going to lay down the palm leaves when he comes into Jerusalem. Some are going to be those that just don't care. Others are going to be those that are going to belong to him later. He sees the whole crowd and he has compassion that stirs him to the core of God. What have I told you before? God loves you 100% of his capacity to love. That's unimaginable. 100% of his capacity to love is how much God loves you. So he looks out over this crowd and he sees us, sees them, and the disciples are probably thinking, oh my goodness, here they come again. You know, they won't leave us alone. We're tired. We want a time with just him. But Jesus is stirred with compassion. And the Bible says in verse 15, it's coming along evening time. Okay, and what does it say that Jesus had been doing? He healed their sick and he taught them. This went on all day. They were tired, they would give out, but Jesus saw them and they brought their sick to him and he was healing them and he was talking to them while he was doing it. They were with God and didn't realize it. They were seeing miracles happen, all sorts of infirmities. We know that Jesus healed the blind. We know that he made he healed those that could not hear, that could not speak. He healed the lame. He raised people from the dead, not in this instance, but we know that he did that with Lazarus. So he was performing miracle after miracle out of compassion this day, and it lasted all day long. And I promise you, he just didn't say, okay, that's it, I'm tired. I promise you, he did it to the very last one. And then the disciples seeing this, they're probably give out too. What were they doing this whole time? I don't know. Maybe they were ministering too. Maybe they were helping him get him up there. I don't know. But they're probably thinking, okay, the last one, now we can rest. That was their thinking. But that wasn't Jesus' thinking. So what did they tell him? Okay, Lord, it's getting late. Okay? All right? Kind of like we have if we have a service here and it's late or whatever, you know, I can see the look. Hey, it's getting late. Okay? Okay, pot roast is on. No, y'all don't do that. I'm picking. But you can imagine they're thinking, right? It's late. We're tired. We're going to send them away. Here's an excuse. They don't have anything to eat. Now, people back in that time were a lot more used to missing a meal than I am. You can tell, right? Okay? We're not used to missing meals, let's be honest. But it wasn't that big a deal with them if they had to miss a meal. But the disciples said, they have nothing to eat. We need to let them go. Send them into the villages because they were in a deserted place. And let them find something to eat. And what did Jesus say? Now, Jesus is having compassion. He's healing. But he's also still teaching the disciples. And he looks at them and he says, you feed them. Now, these disciples had been out before and cast out some demons, right? They had gone before into the countryside and come back excited to Jesus to tell him all that had happened by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But they weren't expecting this. Jesus said, you feed this multitude. This multitude, what did the Bible say? 5,000 men besides women and children. And you've heard this. That's a lot of people. Women and children along with this. Scholars estimate could be as many as 15,000 people. You feed them. Now they've been with Jesus. They've seen him turn the water into wine. They've seen him do other miracles. This day they were seeing him heal people. And so they should have been able to say, okay, Lord, you supply it. We know you can. But that wasn't the reaction, was it? They said, send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. And Jesus said to them, they don't need to go away. They need to be around Jesus, don't they? Don't send the multitudes away. Keep them here with me. You give them something to eat. Now, Jesus was talking about physical food, which he would supply, but he knew they needed much more than that. They needed to be fed spiritually. They needed to eat of him. Now, remember this. Later on, he's going to make a comment to a multitude that you must eat my body and drink of my blood. And remember, they didn't understand that. And they said, okay, this is some kind of cult. We're not going to stay here for that. And many of them left. They didn't understand. But Jesus knew that's exactly what they need. They needed to be filled because they were hungry. And they didn't even realize what for. That many of them followed him and walked all the way around that body of water because they were empty and they didn't even know why, but they knew something about him was pulling them. Something about him was different, and they thought that they might get filled. And Jesus said, you're my disciples. We're gonna fill them. We're going to feed them. Let me show you. Let me teach you here. They said, we have only here 5 loaves. The 2 fishes. They're still not seeing the picture. But don't get upset with them or don't judge them, because we're exactly the same way many times. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to church. But a lot of times we'll kind of fall short. And instead of 100% relying on God, and I point to myself first, we say, Lord, don't know if we can do that. We only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we're not a big enough congregation, Lord. I don't know if we can do that. We only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I was at a meeting this last week about revival. We're still talking about having in June, probably going to be the second week in June, community-wide revival in Bernice. And there were pastors there. And about 8 of us, some couldn't make it. And they wanted to know how many of the old garment factory, Miss Janie, they call it the Civic Center now, they've redone it, and that's where we're going to meet. They wanted to know about how many chairs we thought we might have to set out. So they were asking, how many people go to your church? And so out of the 8, there were a few that had 80 or 90 go to their church. But most of them were 25 or 30, you know, in the people. So what if all the pastors would have said, well, you know, that's just not enough people. We can't do it. Only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But I promise you that wasn't the attitude. The attitude is that Jesus can break that up and do anything he wants to with the work of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful that we're kind of not like the disciples, even being church-going people in this age. God can do anything he wants to do. Understand? You know that. 5 loaves and 2 fishes is just a start for him. The disciples weren't looking at that. Jesus knew, though, that he was going to feed them much more than just what was there. So what did he say do? He said, bring them to me. Bring them to me. And we can get a little bit evangelistic here. We've talked a lot about our community, where all of you live, out in the community, and where I live. Jesus said, bring them to me. And I know you do this, because several of you call me and you tell me you've talked to this one and that one. I know you do. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep inviting them. Keep encouraging them. Keep witnessing to them. Keep loving on them. Okay? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's no problem for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, bring them to me. Then he commanded that they sat down. And what did he do? He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And he just kept breaking it. And he just kept breaking it. And he just kept breaking it. Just like the woman with the oil when Elijah went to. And the oil just kept supplying. And kept growing and kept supplying. Can you imagine what the disciples thought? Okay, when he gets through these 5 loaves, he's going to break them up. Peter, John, won't you two just carry it, because it's not going to be enough. Just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Y'all carry it and get them few right there, and that's going to do it, and we can leave. He kept breaking it. He gave Matthew his basket full, and he kept breaking it. He gave John his basket full, and he kept breaking it. And he gave Peter, and he gave Thomas, and he gave the others, and they took their basket full, okay, to these 15,000 people possibly. And he carried it out there to them. And he gave them enough that they ate. And the Bible says there were 12 baskets left over. If you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you come to God and you're not expecting to get filled, it's not his fault, it's your fault. Because this teaches that he gives abundantly more than you will ever need in your life. It's my fault if I'm not filled when I get up from the scripture and prayer with him that I'm not filled. I didn't say all my problems were gone away. I said, it's my fault if I'm not filled with his love and his joy and everything from him. The 12 baskets, one for each disciple that picked up that much overflowing left over. Yes, the lesson is God doesn't waste. He doesn't. But he also supplies abundantly more than what anybody ever would need. He applies that to us with you more than you will ever need. Jesus said, you feed them. He didn't ask anything more than what he allowed them to have and supply. They couldn't supply that, and they knew it. He asked them to do it, but what happened? He supplied it. He asked them to go do it, but he broke it up. He multiplied it. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he doesn't give us the ability and the resources and the love to do. But he asked us to do it. You see, he didn't just make it appear in front of all the people. He included the disciples, didn't he? He said, you take the basket. I'm fixing to teach you. You serve the people. You serve the people. I'm going to be gone, okay? Later he would teach them this. I'm going to be leaving you, but not alone. The Holy Spirit's going to come, but it's going to be up to you
through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and me to feed the people. Peter, you're going to deny me, and you're going to go through a hard time, and you're going to be sifted by wheat. But remember what we had the lesson not long ago? I have prayed with you, and when you come back, and you will, you're going to be stronger because what you have learned in going through the difficult times in your life, you're going to be stronger. Now, Peter, remember this example, and I want you to feed the people that you're over in your congregation. I want you to feed the people through 1 and 2 Peter here. I want you to feed the people through Mark, because a lot of people know that Mark got a lot of his stuff from Peter. John, I want you to feed the people through Revelation and being a pastor of your church. I want you to feed them because of what I'm giving you. You're able to feed them because of what I'm distributed in your life. The 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, the bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You eat of me. You come to me because you're hungry. What do we do as Christians when we're in a place in our life that's bad? We go to the Lord in prayer, don't we? And other times also. But why? Because He is what can fill us. He is who feeds us. He is who we live off of. Jesus said, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, women, and children. And what happened that day reached way beyond all of them. Because they saw the miracles and they were filled. And the Bible says while He fed them, He was teaching them. Now the Bible gives us certain times when the Pharisees would come out and listen to Jesus. And a few times there were a few altercations. But don't you know some of them came out of curiosity to see what was going on that's not recorded in the Scripture? And they heard His teaching, and they saw these things, and they saw how He was feeding the people, doing what they were supposed to be doing. Do you ever get full? Is there a time that you spend time with the Lord, enough time with the Lord through Scripture and through prayer and through asking and through submission, that you actually let Him fill you up? Or is it just a quick reading and a quick prayer and, I've been with the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do now. Lord, You take care of the rest. I got to go on about my business. The Lord said, sit down. It wasn't like McDonald's, okay? He didn't break it and have them come by and get it and go home. Well, here's your to-go plate. Okay, go on. No. Sit down in a banquet atmosphere. Kind of like what I talked about, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sit down and we're going to sup together. We're going to have some time together. I'm going to feed you because your mind's going to be on me, and we're going to take some time together. Sit down. Sit down in this atmosphere. Enjoy each other. Enjoy, I've healed a bunch of you. Enjoy that. And now I'm going to feed you. And He also fed him with His teaching. Time with the Lord. Let Him feed you and learn what He taught the disciples. Take that to the community. Take that to your family and to people and love them and feed them. Take your basket, which is full because you've been in study with the Lord and in prayer. Now He's filled it. Now go and distribute it. And you're going to have more left over. You know this, and I can tell you this. When you have an experience with somebody else and you pray with them, or you pray as they accept the Lord as Lord and Savior, or you hug their neck or something, am I wrong, or don't you come away feeling full of the Spirit of God? Don't you come away with a good feeling? I tell you, I do. Your basket is full. You've taken the leftovers, and it's still full for something for you, right? That's the way the Lord Jesus is, and only He can be that way. He tells us, sit down and let me feed you. Even with everything that's going on in the world, okay? Even with all the chaos, Jesus said, you come spend time with me, and I'm going to give you exactly what you need, and I'm going to fill you up, and it's going to run over. Measured, pressed down, and running over. One of these days, those of you that don't know, I'm going to describe how they actually did that in old Israel. It's amazing how they did that, measured, pressed down, and running over, what it amounted to.
believe me, it's like these baskets. It's running over. A significant symbol of the love of God in our life and what He does for us that we can take to the world. And Jesus is waiting to heal, and He's waiting to love. W.J., if you'd come, please.